This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Bum 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 bum.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to A Mindful Ramadan. We all have dreams and goals that we want to accomplish. Some have turned those dreams into reality, and most people spend the entire life regretting the fact that they didn't take action. The difference between success and failure has a lot less to do with aptitude and much more to do with having the attitude of perseverance, having the grit, having that ability to push through and do the things you don't feel like doing. Our ultimate goal is achieving Jannah. And in order to do that, we have to have the perseverance. We have to push through. We need to overlook the immediate gratifications of our pleasures and focus more on the delayed gratification of pleasing our Creator and attaining our ultimate abode. Today's topic is on perseverance. And the excellent person to be able to talk about this is Dr. Rania Awad, who is a practicing psychiatrist and is a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at Stanford University School of Medicine, mashallah, where she is the director of Muslim Mental Health Lab and Wellness Program. She has also received her ijazah in Quran, Islamic law, and other branches from Syria. Mashallah, she's doing tremendous work in the area of psychology and Islam. I am so proud and impressed with Dr. Rania Awad. We're so happy and honored to have you here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me, Hada.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Mashallah. You're doing a beautiful job in the community, in the Muslim community, combining psychology and Islam. And we're all just very proud, mashallah.
Barakallahu feekum. Thank you.
Sure. Now, as far as the perseverance, what role do you feel that perseverance has in developing ourselves and achieving our goals and our ultimate goal of achieving Jannah, inshallah?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. What is the ultimate goal here, inshallah ta'ala? And I think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has told us over and over. In fact, this concept of perseverance has shows up so much in the Quran. There are countless verses that actually refer to it. And I'll start actually with one just to kind of start us off of how I really see this as a key to getting us to Jannah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. And so when you look at that, like this series of things Allah says, He says, oh, you who believe. So He's talking to us. He's talking to believers. For those who believe, right? Persevere in patience and constancy. Right. And then abide in that perseverance. You know, so there's the having the perseverance in the first place, right? And then there's the vying and the perseverance, like literally good competition with each other to persevere. Yes. That's the isbiru, the having the perseverance, and the sabiru, right? To buy that perseverance. And then rabitu, like strengthen each other. And then wattaqullah, right? And be pious. So that what? La'allakum tuflihun. So that you can be prosperous. And it's so beautifully put in that verse where it talks about like, what is the role of this person? Why is it such an important character trait to really embody and have? So that we're able to become from the prosperous, inshallah.
MashaAllah. There's so much emphasis on that, right? So there's so much emphasis on just persevere. And that is a really critical characteristic to have, because many times it is like people just give up. And if they had just lasted a little bit longer, or if they had tolerated, like sometimes people have difficulty with the hijab, they feel like, oh, you know, I'm not getting a job because of the hijab. And they end up giving up and taking it off. Or sometimes it's in their marriage, they give up. And sometimes it's with their children. So that perseverance really makes all the difference in being successful.
Absolutely. And even when you think about perseverance, there's really different kinds of perseverance. So again, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks about the different types of perseverance. And one of them is called patient perseverance, to patiently persevere. And that phrase shows up also separately and consistently. And I'm thinking about how, you know, the moment we're in a global pandemic, it's really difficult for all of us, right? We've all seen incredible loss and just difficulty. And the ayah in the Quran that talks about this patient perseverance actually talks about all this loss first, because it says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And I'll translate, because Allah says, you know, we're going to test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and loss lives and loss of fruits. I mean, we've seen all of this in this COVID pandemic, right? We've seen all of these things, subhanAllah. Right. And then he says, وَبَشِّرُ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere. Like, it's not just a perseverance, it's a patient perseverance. And there is a distinction, right? If we complete the next verse, because it kind of finishes the meaning. It says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Which that phrase, and I'll translate, it's one we know commonly, right? Because it says, and those who have a calamity that comes to them, they say, to Allah we belong, and to Him is our return, right? Like, that's the phrase we say commonly. And basically what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here is that if we are the people who say this and patiently persevere, then we will have blessings descend upon us and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guidance through the difficult things that we're patiently persevering through.
Beautiful, very powerful verse. Very powerful verse reminding us that regardless of all the difficulties, if we persevere, Allah will reward us. And you're right, during this pandemic, we're getting all of it at once. In the past, it was like, okay, you have the loss, or you have, you know, this one difficulty, but it's now, it's all together. And I think this is when you have spiritual reserves, right? All the worship we've done, all the prayers, all the du'as, is like, now is the time to really show in our character that we are persevering through this. So that's a beautiful reminder. Was there another verse that you wanted to mention regarding perseverance?
Yeah, actually, I'm thinking about, there's patient perseverance, and then another type of perseverance that also shows up in the Quran. It's kind of like there's like slight differences between them, but they're all types of perseverance. Right. There is also one that is called a beautiful perseverance. And that's where in Surah Yusuf, it actually shows up twice. And فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying and reminding us that there are actually different kinds of that perseverance and patience that is beautiful, which also means that there's some that are not beautiful, right? We have ways of doing things that are not so beautiful, right?
Yes.
And the best practice will be that صَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, that beautiful patience.
Oh, nice.
People ask, like, what does that mean? Like, how do I beautifully persevere, right? Like with almost like with elegance, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of persevere through something. SubhanAllah, and when you think about what that means, and in that story of Surah Yusuf, and you look at the father of Yusuf, Sayyidina Yaqub, he's gone through tribulation after tribulation after, you know, he's lost his son and lost his eyesight, and he's lost his, now his, later in the story, loses his other son, right? And so he repeats the Fasabrun Jameel again when he loses the second son, right? And he says, you know, and everyone around him essentially is criticized him and saying, why do you keep grieving over things that have passed, right? And he says, Allah knows what you don't know, right? He kind of reminds them that Allah here, and he has a sense that there's something here Allah is saving. And so when you think about what that is, it's a beautiful patience where he says, "Fasabrun jamil." He's going to persevere patiently by what? By having a good opinion of Allah through the difficulties.
Right. That's a beautiful distinction, just making it that it's a beautiful patience and perseverance, because sometimes people can persevere, but it's more about it's learned helplessness. So people will say, "Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah." Yeah. And, but you don't sense the contentment. You don't see the rida, right? It's more of a learned helplessness. So critical to be on that stage of, stage of iman where you can totally accept it wholeheartedly with that.
Right.
And I have a modern day example, and I have to draw upon the example of my mom, Allah yarhamha, that even though, you know, while she was paralyzed, she couldn't eat, she couldn't speak, her communication was with blinking, the yes and the no, subhanAllah. And yet she had a beautiful smile on her face. And yet she really exemplified this sabrun jamil and sabrun jamil to all of us. And during a period of time where she was mute, she taught us more than any other time, subhanAllah. So
subhanAllah,
it's exemplifying that, you know what, it, whatever is happening, I am, having that beautiful patience. So
that's so beautiful, mashallah. May Allah give her the highest levels of Jannah and give your family and subhanAllah. The story, subhanAllah, your mom reminds me of an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about exactly what you said there, because he says, wasbir fa inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al muhsinin. Like, it's speaking of perseverance, right? Like, be steadfast in that perseverance, because Allah will not let anyone who has suffered let their reward go or perish.
Yeah.
So like in this difficulty and difficult moments that we live in our lives, that we experience in our lives, Allah is so merciful, because you think of what he's doing. It said even the prick of a thorn, expiations of sin. Like, we get our sins forgiven. Like, with calamity and difficulty, on one hand, you get your sins forgiven for every even little prick you feel.
Right.
And on the other hand, he talks about getting reward for the patience.
Right.
Persevering.
How beautiful. Right. So it's double the rewards. And I think that's what helps us through, right? And I can't imagine someone going through tragic events without this belief, without knowing that you're cleansed, without knowing that you're rewarded, because then it would be very difficult. But when you keep that in mind, and that was, I kept reminding myself of that this is, she is being elevated, she's being cleansed, and that is, it's so comforting. So I said, I surrender, you know, you feel that it's a beautiful way to cope with it, subhanAllah.
I'm so thankful. I will lie, this deen of ours is such a blessing, because I think sometimes, in the work that we do, I work with Muslims and non-Muslims both, and alhamdulillah for the work with all different types of ability to help all different people from different walks of life. I think about faith and people of faith a lot, and how even in therapy, I actually find it easier to be able to talk to somebody who has a faith in which they rely on something greater, someone greater, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, right, greater than themselves, and they can rely on that. And when things aren't going well, it's easier to kind of reframe that, because you're able to see there's more to the story potentially, and there is reward coming your way, and there is an akhirah, there's a hereafter that is much better than this dunya.
It makes it much easier. I remember when I was working at the VA hospital, and we had to be very careful not to talk about religion or God, and it was just so difficult. It was so challenging. And actually, at that moment is when I decided I'm going to focus on the Muslim community. And I saw the difference when you can integrate, you know, Islam and realigning yourself with your religion, with your creator, surrendering, like all of that. It really made the healing process faster. It was faster and more effective, because
it's true. Yeah, subhanAllah. It's so interesting that we had similar experiences here.
We did. It's nice to connect with someone, you know, with similar, mashallah, background and experience. And definitely, it's beautiful to see how the faith, the connection we have with our Creator, helps us in, you know, every area of our life. And
so
what else? What did you want to share as far as, was there a different level of the perseverance? So you talked about the patient perseverance, the beautiful perseverance.
And the steadfast perseverance. You know, this the verse that we read, like the one about being very steadfast in that, because that is the kind that Allah promises. We won't lose any reward. In fact, we will gain reward and we'll lose sin for going through that whole difficulty. I mean, these different levels of perseverance are so beautifully outlined in the Quran, and they show up often. And interestingly enough, a lot of times when the word perseverance shows up in the Quran, soon after it also comes prayer. And when you think about what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intend by that? Like, what are we meant to learn from that? So clearly there's a connection about how to those who are persevering through something also being prayerful. You know, when you need something, what do? You ask for it and you go after it and you work for it. And I always think about how my teachers would often say, spiritual teachers would say, if you really want something, you know, then you need to be up praying for it.
You don't want it bad enough if you're not praying tahajjud, right? And that's so important, because we know that if you really want something, I mean, even if you look at it from a psychological perspective, you can't just wish for something to happen. You can't just, I wish I had a better body. Oh, I wish my business would grow. You have to take action. And even with a lot of the miracles that happen, Allah would get the prophets to take some kind of action, right? So it's like Musa alayhi salam, he was, he was by the Red Sea and the ferocious army was there, and they were stuck, but he said, just take your staff and put it in the water. He didn't have to do that. It was not necessary, but it's just take that action. Allah will put barakah. And that's with Maryam alayhi salam, right? She was in the middle of a desert. It's like, shake the palm tree. The palm tree is so hard to shake, but it's just saying, it's kind of symbolic. We have to take that first step, and then Allah will put barakat in in what we're doing.
So true. So true. It's like the hadith that talks about fa'qid wa tawakkal, right? Like, tie your camel and depend on Allah. And so I find two different levels of how people do this. Sometimes I find people who are, who don't. It's kind of like how the hadith actually talks about the man who ran into the masjid to pray and didn't tie his camel.
Yes.
And the prophet corrects him and tells him, and when he asks him, he said, why didn't you do so? He said, because Allah will take care of him. And he said, no, you need to tie the camel, and then Allah will take care of him and you, inshallah. And then I find other people who go the other extreme, where they're actually like, not just tie the camel, but they're like hamstring the camel, exactly. And it's right. That's not called for either.
Right. So, it's that beautiful balance of you take action and then you trust, and then the rest is in Allah's hand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very nice. Okay. Excellent. So in attaining this perseverance, right? How do we work on ourselves? How can people who are right now struggling, they're struggling with whatever it is, whatever losses, whatever difficulties, and they're just like, this is hard. What can you tell them as far as like maybe to develop this desire to have more perseverance?
Definitely. I think in speaking in very practical terms, sometimes we almost have to give ourselves little pep talks, what we call self-talk, give ourselves pep talks in saying, and for different people, it's different. For some people, thinking about that reward really helps them. Mm-hmm. For others, it's actually bringing to mind examples of other people. Like, for example, Mashallah, you brought to mind your mother, rahmatullahi alayha. And for others, they might think of, historical examples, maybe one of the most patient and persevering people historically that are in the Quran is Sayyidina Asiya, right? The wife of Pharaoh, right? Who patiently persevered through this, very ugly character of Pharaoh. And subhanAllah, with the verse in the Quran says so beautifully that even at the very end of her life, as she's, on her deathbed, and she's been tortured by Fir'aun, right? This monstrosity of a person, right? And on his people, she prays to Allah, and Allah shows her place in Jannah, right? It's just this beautiful kind of imagery of how what patient perseverance can have. Because sometimes, and we need to do as much as we can to take control into our hands, but sometimes the situation is much bigger than us. I think about people who have been through war-torn situations. It is so drastic. It's as much as you do, you can do so only so much, and the situation is well beyond you. And so you patiently persevere, knowing that reward is coming, inshallah. Right?
That's something beautiful. Right. So talking about the fact that you're thinking, either think about the reward or think about examples that you have seen and just keep yourself going in some way. And it is so critical to have mentorship, to have people you look up to. I mean, obviously we have amazing examples that we can read about. I think even modern day examples where you can feel that if someone, when you see someone going through a difficulty with maybe with grace, then that also motivates you to be stronger. I know with one friend that she had lost her twin sister. Mm-hmm. And I thought that she would be devastated, but it was her beautiful faith that made her just, you know, to be pleasant and accepting of it. SubhanAllah, when you see examples like that, it just ignites you. It ignites the faith.
It does, subhanAllah. And I also, in thinking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends difficulties to us, and He's promised also that He promises to send ease, right? Yeah. Inna ma'al usri yusra.
Right.
It's repeated twice. Ma'al usri yusra. And people sometimes translate it as, oh, after the difficulty,
right, will come ease.
But actually it's the ma'a, which means like with, like it, together.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can't see it because the difficulty that's coming our way is it's a lot, like it's heavy, and but with it, like tucked with it is the ease.
Right.
Sometimes, right, if we're able to take a step back, or eventually we'll actually see, right, that ease because it's promised, it's coming.
Right, right. You know? And with that, for some, that was my mantra for for many periods of my life, subhanAllah. And it's saying that al-usri, you know, it's one difficulty and then the yusr is like indefinite, right? There's no definite article. Yeah. So you get, with one difficulty, you get so much ease. And so it's such beautiful, it's beautiful how psychology is so interwoven. I'm sure you love seeing that into our Quran, into our deen, and how we're reinforced by these beautiful verses, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah for that. I think about this all the time, and the ni'mah or the blessing of having faith, really. And there are others who might criticize that or say that that's a naive way of looking at the world. In fact, and I'll share, if it's okay, I'm going to shift it to science for a minute and share, yeah, you know, just statistic wise, because, you know, a lot of the work that I also do is research, and I'll share this about how we've, along with our lab, the Muslim Mental Health Lab at Stanford, along with the Yaqeen Institute, we did, alhamdulillah, one of the largest studies, if not the largest, on Muslims and COVID. And there were over 9,000 people who were a part of the study. It's a really big study.
That's good. And
subhanAllah, what we found, like, I was really surprised, because when we asked people a question that we saw on a different study that was for all Americans, like all faith groups and no, mm-hmm, faith groups, they asked about if people had a closer relationship with Allah, with God, because of the pandemic. And they actually found an increase. They were surprised too, that they found an increase for people. They said it was a spike, and it was 24% of Americans felt closer to God because of the pandemic. When we repeated the same thing in our Muslim study, we actually found the number was more like 70%.
MashaAllah. Oh, I got goosebumps. That's beautiful. Yeah.
It's almost threefold. And you think about, like, what is it? Like, what is it about Islam that's like woven into the way we, you know, our belief system that allows, yeah, for that? And it is a beautiful thing. And so when people say, oh, faith is naive, I say, no, look at the pandemic right now. It's actually a protective factor. It's actually helpful.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It gives us tools. I can't imagine when people don't have, it's really like not having the tools to deal with all life's challenges. So that's a very powerful study that you did with 9,000 people, and seeing that the Muslims, their faith jumped up by 70%. That's phenomenal. MashaAllah. So it shows that when you are tested, and that is, I think, one of the important ways how we interpret the events in our lives, right? So it's not the situations that happen, but how we interpret it. And some people may interpret these hardships, losses, as, oh, Allah's mad at me, oh, I'm being punished. And it's so important to distinguish between these two things, that as long as you are connected to Allah, as long as you're still praying to Him and you're asking for His help, then that's a mercy. Even if you're going through a hardship, because as soon as someone defines it as I'm being punished or Allah's mad at me, then all despair comes in, right? They feel very defeated. So it's so important, as long as you have that connection with Allah and you're going through hardship, you're good.
Alhamdulillah. So true. So true. And I'll say one more thing, part of that same study, when we asked, we actually asked people, like, do they believe that this situation that we're in right now is a punishment from Allah? Is it a test from Allah? Like, we asked all these different questions. And like, you're right. Some people do, you know, kind of almost immediately go bad equals, you know, it's a punishment. Like something.
Right.
But subhanAllah, it was so beautiful. And actually very, I felt a sense of hope in the study, because I felt, we found that the majority of Muslims actually believed that this whole COVID experience was a test and not a punishment, which meant that, like, you know, because Allahu A'lam about the punishment part, but for sure, the test, because Allah says so in the Quran, like the verse we were talking about.
Yeah,
and that's reassuring, because I think that means that you can then cope through, again, patiently persevere, beautifully persevere through the test, right? Yeah. And know that you're being expiated for your sins in the meantime, right, and not look at it always from, oh, it's a punishment, because that's,
it's debilitating. It really gets you immobilized. And, you know, for so many years, I mean, the past definitely 20 years, I've always used that angle of seeing it as a test because of the verses that you mentioned. And I have now shifted and started, because with the test, it has a connotation of, you know, you have your stress, there's anxiety, you may feel pressured. And so I'm now shifting it to see it as a gift. So instead of a test, it's a gift. And that, I can't tell you how empowering it is, because even if it's not something that we're happy about, but it's a gift because it's from Allah, right? It's a package, it's a present, it's something from Allah. And it really, it beautifies your life in one way or another. And it takes away also the stress maybe associated with being tested. So in my own personal life, I'm using the word gift more, because I just feel everything is a gift. And when you have that mindset, it just makes you look at things in a very different light.
So true. So true. MashaAllah. What a beautiful way of reframing.
It's a recent thing. I've always used tests. It was like, this is it. But I just feel like, I always feel like, we can never stop learning and growing and improving. So this is one way to improve. And JazakAllah khair, and mashallah, such beautiful perspective on perseverance. And may Allah reward you for all the research you're doing, all the, you know, being such a forerunner, mashallah, in this field, and adding so much
benefit. As well.
JazakAllah khair.
You really are the forerunner, mashallah.
JazakAllah khair. And, you know, alhamdulillah, we're all in this together. And I think because of the way, mashallah, having that abundance mentality is so critical in our field, and just, you know, lifting each other up, and we're all on the same journey, subhanAllah. And it's always nice to see like-minded individuals, the same passion and the same, we have a lot to talk about. I really enjoyed it and really benefited. MashaAllah, thank you so much for your time and the beautiful wisdom. And may Allah continue to shower you with so much barakat, inshallah.
I mean, you as well and more. Allahumma.
Jazakallah khair. And jazakallah khair for coming on, and jazakallah khair for tuning in, everyone. Take care of yourself. Bum 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 b